Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
There you go, Cofield and Company on a Thursday. Jeff Harrell across the way. Steering the ship is Jared. Big day. We've got tickets every hour for UNLV football against Utah State. That's a 4 o'clock start on Saturday. UNLVtickets.com is where you're going to want to buy your tickets, but we will have at least three pair of tickets for UNLV football today. Maybe a bonus pair. We'll see what we can wrangle up, but big day on the way as we're heading towards the Dan Mullen radio show. That is a 7 o'clock start, Parkway Tavern. I remember happy hour at all the Parkway Taverns from 3 until 6 with half off the appetizers, a dollar or two off the beers and the Wells, and after 7 o'clock during the Mullen show, $2 on the Miller Lights. So, Jeff, I won't watch much of the Jets game because I usually don't. Jared knows from being out at the Mullen radio show, we're kind of doing a bunch of different things and paying attention to the show. So, a lot of the Thursday games I usually have to catch up on. Should I be glued to the television? Should I kind of bow out for the Mullen show to watch the Jets in this big turnaround?
First off, it's a good old two-game winning streak for the Jets. But this is just a little bit of a step up in competition, wouldn't you say, tonight? Patriots, seven-game win streak. Look to push it to 8, There are a lot of interesting things with this game tonight. You have Garrett Wilson was officially put on IR about 20 minutes ago, so I know we'll get into that a little bit later. But you look at the way that New England, has won these seven straight games. They've done it through their defense. They've done it through Drake May. You have Travion Henderson. The Ramondre Stevenson injury might have been the best thing that could have happened to them because now they actually have to play Travion, which Travion has always been the most talented guy on that running back tandem core, whatever you want to call it. But this is the long way to say, to answer your question, do you need to be glued to the television tonight? No, you do not.
Well, I think, first of all, the two-game streak for the Jets is good because, people were starting to doubt Aaron Glenn, which I think in year one is kind of ridiculous. You have to see something really awful. It's got to be, Jim Tom Sula-esque with a guy farting at the podium and farting all over the field to bail on someone. So at least he's showing some signs. I don't believe the Patriots are that good. I think they are the worst of the 8-2 teams. I think they've been scraping by in a lot of these spots. It seems like 8 million years ago, but one of their losses actually came to the Raiders, which is still befuddling. I think the Patriots are very much the beneficiary of what the NFL does with scheduling, which if you are terrible the year before or middle of the pack, your schedule comes nowhere close to reflecting what the top teams have to play. Good team, improved team, really good team that should be laying 2 touchdowns. That to me is crazy.
Hell, we're starting to see the 13s, which I agree with you. 13 is, and it's a short week. It's a divisional game. If the Jets actually execute the offensive game plan right, which is a big if, the Jets are going to be running the ball 25, 30 times in this game between Hall and Davis and Justin Fields. You brought that point up on Monday, too, where New England has the easiest remaining strength of schedule. They've had one of the easier strength of schedules to begin with through their first 10 games. And look, last week, I thought Drake May was okay. He had the one long touchdown pass to Kyle Williams. He had the one long play to Matt Collins, which he followed up by throwing an interception. But again, this is a team that if you look at their Cofield, we're going to have fun with numbers here. The New England Patriots strength of schedule this year is 376. The only team in the NFL with a worse strength of schedule is the Chicago Bears. They have the worst.
Hence, both teams have improved because they're going against garbage schedules.
Exactly.
But you play who you have to play.
Exactly.
And coming out, 8-2, that's
pretty darn
good. They've done it. Frankly, they probably should be 9-1. They shouldn't have lost to the Patriots. Back to the Jets side for a second.
Yeah, please.
I like a lot of what Aaron Glenn has done. Game management stuff is a little bit weird. Being a little overly celebratory, I'm not going to kill him on that early in the season. I do think his now habitual battling with the media over stuff that is really supposed to be public information, like what are you hiding? Early in the week, they were trying to get some information. The media was on one Garrett Wilson, and Aaron Glenn decides to start getting into it with the media.
I'm going to to pass on talking about injuries. Since Rich, he's not here, has all the answers, so you guys can get all the injuries from Rich. So I go right into this here game.
Are you a candidate for IR, or is that not something you want to
ask Rich?
I'm
telling you to ask Rich. Well, you better call him.
No disrespect to you or Rich, but like we want to hear from you.
You guys have been hearing from me, but now since we're just reporting stuff, you know, that I haven't said, then maybe you should ask him.
Thanks, everybody. See you on
the field. Sure, but his job is the people in the media. Their job is to put out reports if they're sourced. That's the way it goes. They're not going to get everything from you. First of all, coaches won't give everything, so it's not your job to wait. I have an employer. They want the news. So unless you're going to pay me when I get fired, cut it out. The Jets PR guy in the background, whoever that was, like, all right, guys, like, I would actually let's have Aaron Glenn learn a lesson. It's actually very interesting today. And I'm going to mention one more thing. I do like that the rest of the media is like, yeah, we're not doing this game, okay? We're not, because you want to take shots at a guy who's not here. We're not asking him. That's absurd. So they push right back at him, and then he was like, bah, 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 because that's what you're supposed to do. As conduit to fans, the fans want answers. And to try to set up this bullying thing, and what it's reminiscent of is a bullying situation in New York some, I don't know what it was, 25 years ago, and this guy happened to just pass away today, so the timing is a little bit weird. But listen to Aaron Glenn spar a little bit. Reminds me of John Tortorella and Larry Brooks years ago. And Larry Brooks is asking some, benign question. And John Tortorella is like, you ever been in a fight? And Larry Brooks, without hesitation, is like, I don't know. Do you want to fight? Which I actually think should be the exchange oftentimes with the media and coaches when they do that. I thought one of the best ones ever was Tony La Russa was starting to get like all snippy. And he tried to go at Bernie Miklas, who was working for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He was mad at the editors, and he's like, well, I'm not going to answer your question because of your paper. And Bernie's like, yeah, it wasn't me. It's the editors. It's not me. And then Tony, like, bah, 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 bah. And then Bernie Miklas, who I don't know how big he is. He appears to be 6'6 and 400 pounds on the video.
He's a huge guy.
I have no idea if he can fight. But yeah. he stood up and was like, Tony. I'm like, let's do this. And I know people don't believe like that it just, the media is just picking fights. If a coach is going to be a jerk, it is our job as, again, a conduit to the fans, a conduit for the fans, to press people when they're delivering nonsense. Is Garrett Wilson out or not? It's not going to be some giant advantage for the Patriots to know on Monday or Thursday morning. Cut it out.
Well, and also, too, like with the Wilson injury, like, he re-aggravated the knee that had already kept him out 3 weeks. Like, we're not stupid. We know what's going to be happening with that. And then he's been doing the nonsense with the quarterbacks. He hasn't announced the starting quarterback
that's
in
so
weeks.
Dumb.
You can do some of this stuff when you're winning. You can't do it.
If you're Belichick and you want to be an ass and you have equity, then you can do it. But you have no equity. Maybe he's having fun out of it. Why aggravate yourself over something that's so simple, so dopey? So I think the Jets will compete tonight. Hopefully Aaron Glenn coaches a good game. That stuff does not need to be in his purview at all. 364-1100, let's do a first giveaway of those UNLV football tickets. Utah State, it's coming up this weekend. Legion Stadium at the Al, UNLVtickets.com. We got a pair right now, 364-1100, caller number 7. Major League Baseball meetings are in town. Arash Markazi, as Mr. LA, Mr. Vegas, Mr. Hawaii, is covering it. So we'll catch up with Arash from the Sporting Tribune in less than 5.
CEO of the Sporting Tribune, Arash Markazi, joins Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go on a Thursday, bringing in Arash. Much to get to. He's up with Jeff Parles and Cofield. Arash, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I want to get into what's going on here in Vegas with MLB. But first of all, as you know, I stalk everyone's Twitter and threads, and you do a great job. Were you grokked the other day when you were talking about a 25-minute flight from LAX to Burbank?
Yeah, no, but what's that called? Like a community note or something? And I thought it was great because I was at the airport in Los Angeles at LAX, and I saw a flight, United flight, leaving LAX and going to Burbank. I had never seen that before. I mean, I've lived in LA my entire life. So I just took a picture of it. And I guess the community note was they were rerouting or repositioning that plane. So it wasn't like a flight that they normally have. But, no, I had never seen that before.
Arash is with us from the Sporting Tribune. Arash, I think the biggest story of the week, and there's lots of big stories in L.A., was the news that came out about UCLA and the Rose Bowl and SoFi. So tell us what the latest is, and for people who don't know the background, what is UCLA trying to do?
Yeah, so they're trying to leave the Rose Bowl to go to SoFi Stadium. It is closer to campus, 12 miles as opposed to 26. Fewer seats to fill, so as opposed to 90,000 to 70. You know, I don't even know, like 5 to 6X the suites and club seats. The issue is they have a lease that goes through the 2044 season with the Rose Bowl. So a judge has ruled... So the judge kind of ruled a couple of things. Like there was no need for a restraining order or a temporary stay or whatever. Like the judge is confident that this will be worked out. The problem here is that UCLA does not want to play at the Rose Bowl. The issue is that they have to figure out what figure makes sense for UCLA to pay to get out of that lease. And they're nowhere close to figuring what that will be.
The optics are terrible. And yeah. I have no idea what's a fireable offense at UCLA, but this can't be good for the AD. I don't know if this was his decision, but once again, they mismanaged something. Like, why is this even being discussed in a, you know, revitalized season, you know, happy times right now? Like, why would this even come out?
Listen, I think it was the Rose Bowl that wanted it out there because you're 100% right. Like, this isn't a good move. This isn't something that's popular. This isn't something that is sitting well with the UCLA fan base. You know, the problem isn't the proximity of the Rose Bowl to campus. It's that they don't have an on-campus facility. And as you know, Steve, like, that's not going to change. Like, they are not going to build even a smaller football stadium. Like, there is no room in Westwood for a football stadium. There is no, like, appetite within the local community for that to happen. So that's not happening. So either way, whether you're driving 12 miles or 24 miles in Los Angeles, like, you're still driving. So, like, I don't think more fans are going to go to the SoFi. It's a great pro football venue. It's not a college football venue. Like, the Rose Bowl and the Coliseum are college football stadiums. And it's, again, the Rose Bowl is the most beautiful college football stadium in America. So, really bad optics. The Rose Bowl, obviously, they filed the lawsuit. They told the media about it, and they don't want this to happen.
One more note on college football. Really, we should spend like 10 minutes on USC and the game coming up this weekend. Maybe we'll get to it. But you had a good tweet about a George Lucas museum right by USC, and obviously you can tell people about the connection there.
Well, yeah, I mean, George Lucas's history with USC goes way back. By the way, like, this museum was not even supposed to be in Los Angeles or downtown. I mean, it was originally set for San Francisco. That didn't happen. It was going to be built in Chicago. That didn't happen. It was supposed to open, you know, around the time of the pandemic. Obviously, that got delayed. I mean, this thing has been going on forever. But if you haven't seen a picture of it, folks, I mean, Google George Lucas Museum. I mean, it is a futuristic museum, you know, like, to basically, like, close to $2 billion by the time it gets built. It'll open during the USC football season, September of 2026. So, you know, it kind of goes back to my point of the Coliseum and the Rose Bowl being great for tailgating. I mean, you park your car tailgating at the Coliseum, go check out the George Lucas Museum, go check out the Natural History Museum. I mean, there's so much happening there right now.
Arash, I can't think of a better combination of Lincoln Riley and Yoda. Honestly, really.
That's right.
Speaking of Lincoln Riley, though, Arash, this is, hey, look, USC is as amazing as it may seem, they win their next three games. They're probably going to the college football playoff. But, hey, you have a game against Iowa. Iowa had their hearts ripped out by Oregon last week. What do you think of this one?
This is a big game. Again, I mean, I think, listen, it all goes down to that game in Eugene. With that game in Eugene, it doesn't really mean as much if they don't find a way to win this game. So if they beat Iowa, and I'm assuming they're going to beat UCLA, yeah, I mean, it really comes down to that game in Eugene. But the Iowa game is a big one. I mean, going up against a top 25 team, a team that I really have been high on all year, you know, almost beat the Ducks, probably should have beaten the Ducks. So this is going to be a tough game, and I don't think USC is looking ahead. They certainly shouldn't be. But Jeff, you touched on it. I mean, they control their own destiny. If they win these next three games, there's like an 85% probability that they'll be in the college football playoffs. I think it's closer to like 100. I don't think they beat these next three teams. They're going to be in that. And again, you talked about Lincoln Riley being on the hot seat kind of earlier in the season, not finding a way to beat some of these, you know, top tier teams. Him getting this program into the college football playoff would be huge. Again, going into 2026, which will be like the big year. They have the number one recruiting class in the country coming in.
Arash is up from the Sporting Tribune. All right, you're in Vegas. MLB meetings. Where are you calling us from and what are you seeing?
So I'm at the Cosmopolitan. The MLB awards are tonight. I'll be on the red carpet. I don't know what the red carpet's going to look like or who's going to be there, but we'll see what it's like. But the Cosmopolitan's been sort of the hub here for the MLB GM meetings. Yesterday was the American League. Previously it was the National League. But yeah, listen, like, we kind of know the MLB is planting their flag here. So, and by the way, like, there is actual significant movement. They're not just pushing around dirt. It looks like the Tropicana site, like, that stadium's going to get built by the 2028 season. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there.
Amongst your tweets, Arash, Dodgers favored to land Japanese slugger Murakami.
Yeah, listen, I mean, people kept saying, like, well, the Dodgers already have third base covered with Max Muncy. They picked up Max Muncy's one-year option. Max Muncy's turning 36 years old this summer. I'm not saying they're going to get Murakami, but they're not going to get him because, like, Max Muncy got signed to, like, a one-year deal. Like, Murakami would be, like, the long-term guy there. Again, he's 25 years old, kind of thought of as, again, not a two-way player, but, you know, like the next Shohei Ohtani in terms of being, you know, Mr. like the home run king in Japan. So there's obviously a pipeline there. I'm not saying every Japanese player is going to come to the Dodgers, but the Dodgers obviously are a team that you would have to look for to be in the mix.
So let me read through three tweets. I'll repeat the first one. Dodgers favor to land Murakami. Dodgers emerge as favorites to land closer Edwin Diaz. Dodgers favor to land Bo Bichette. In the mix for Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman. What is happening here? Because this is – people's heads are going to explode, and then mine is going to explode, screaming at everyone else in baseball for letting the Dodgers sign a bunch of guys.
Yeah, listen, obviously they're not going to sign all of them. Steve, this is the New York Yankees in the 1990s. I mean, like, people forget it again. If people forget, watch the documentary that's just coming out on Alex Rodriguez. I mean, remember how absurd that was where the Yankees, who had Derek Jeter, got Alex Rodriguez, and everyone's like, wait, you got the two best shortstops in the world? Like, one of them's going to – like that's what the Dodgers are now. From a payroll standpoint, and certainly with their pipeline to Japan, any posting you hear about, I'm not saying that like, every Japanese player is going to come to the Dodgers, but like they're in the mix. They're in the running. So will they sign all those guys? No. Will they sign one? I'd be shocked if they don't sign at least one. So, you know, and again, we're going to keep hearing it every time that the Dodgers make a big move this offseason of ruining baseball. Folks, you know how close it was. They were one inch away at the plate from losing the World Series in Game 7. The fact of the matter is they had to win two games in a row in Toronto to win that World Series. It is, and baseball's never been hotter. Like, look at the TV numbers. So, long story short, they're not going to sign them all, but they will sign one, I think.
Arash, I want to shift gears to the NFL. Let's start with the big matchup at SoFi this week. To me, the two teams that are playing the best of anyone in the NFL, Seahawks and Rams. Arash, what do you think of this game? And for me, I think the Rams should be the betting favorites right now to win the Super Bowl, even though most books have them about either the second or third or fourth option right now.
But Jeff, my favorite thing about the odds, and again, I don't know if this is like at every sports book or whatever, but the fact that the Chiefs, if the season ended today, they would not be in the playoffs, but they are, I believe, in some sports, the Super Bowl favorite still. We are 100% right. A massive game this Sunday at SoFi Stadium, not only for sole position or first place in the division, but really maybe potentially the driver's seat in the conference. I mean, you look at the Rams this season, they have two losses. But you can kind of pinpoint both losses to the kicker. They've changed the kicker. They got the sticker kicker, they call him. So, well, again, he didn't really have to do much the previous week in San Francisco. And there's always a moment in the season where you're like, oh, you could imagine this team going to the Super Bowl. As good as the Rams have been, for them to go into Santa Clara and do what they did to the 49ers, a team that has historically had their way with them in the regular season, that is the moment that I thought this is the best team maybe in the NFL right now. And so they'll have the chance to prove it. If they beat Seattle, and it doesn't have to be handily, but if they beat Seattle on Sunday, I'd be surprised if they're not back in Santa Clara at the end of the year.
Hey, Stafford looks like an MVP candidate, maybe the whole MVP. Also, you mentioned the thicker kicker. That was a move that I thought was a little bit delayed, Arash, because Josh Cardy 100%. Had really, really struggled. I mean, the week before, two of the worst kick misses I've ever seen. But look, I think the Rams definitely have improved at kicker. The other LA team, Arash, this is a huge game as well. In Jacksonville, the Chargers can really, really cement themselves in the postseason picture with a win in Jacksonville this week.
Again, you got the Chiefs going to Denver. So, listen, if the Chargers do what they're supposed to do in Jacksonville, again, you talk about a Jaguars team that is hurt, hasn't been the same since they got blown out by the Rams in London. No Travis Hunter. If they do what they're supposed to do, and listen, if the Chiefs go into Denver winning that game, all of a sudden the Chargers are first place in that division. I mean, you look at the way that they started the season, 3-0, not only 3-0 to start the season, but 3-0 within the division, huge. Again, we knew at the time that we were going to look back at those back-to-back losses to New York, to the Giants team they had no business losing to, and then to Washington at home. Whatever. Things happen. That's the Chargers. But they still have the ability this week to be in first place in the division. The way Herbert's playing, the way the defense is playing, again, the Chargers are for real.
Arash is up. Arash Markazi, CEO of the Sporting Tribune, at Sporting Trib, up on Twitter. The guys do Sporting Trib Live Sunday through Thursday. You want to watch that on Twitter as well. Let's close on this one. I saw that someone asked you, you know, people really like Arash. They ask him about sports. They want his opinion. That someone asked you the other day, which L.A. team will win the next big championship? What'd you say?
USC women's basketball. I mean, I am so excited about the future of this team. Again, Juju Watkins is not here this year. But going into next year, if Juju comes back, and all indications are she will come back, is that they have four of the past five number one recruits in the country. So, you know, this is like USC hoops back in the day when they had, you know, Cheryl Miller and Cynthia Cooper and the McGee sisters. So, you know, again, I had some pushback from people who were saying, what about the Dodgers repeating or a Mel AFC or the Lakers? That's all well and good, but I like USC women's basketball at some point to win the title.
Well, you said the next championship. Dodgers can't win a World Series until October.
Exactly.
USC can win a national title. Come on, listen, everybody. Please, when he writes, on, read it carefully. All right, Arash, enjoy your stay in Vegas, and we will catch up with you soon. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Coming up next, I am going to read Faraway Place odds boards on MLB free agents. Things are open as of now, and I will name the teams that better get in the freaking way of the Dodgers. If the Dodgers have another offseason, like Arash just said, oh, they're not going to sign all of them. Maybe they will if the rest of baseball just lays and, you know, allows the Dodgers to punch them in the nuts.
ESPN Las Vegas.
So we were just talking MLB free agency a little bit with Arash Markazi. He's an LA guy, follows the Dodgers. Jeff, there's nothing suggesting the Dodgers can't go out and sign five more stars.
Nope.
And if the rest of baseball doesn't do anything about it, if they all act like those clowns in Denver who claim they're cash poor, but, you know, are they actually, as Major League Baseball owners, looking up the Monforts, are actually, they're rich, like way beyond anything that anyone would need. But it is a day and age where billionaires are getting into the sport. But the Rockies are not really the problem. Them competing would help. It's the other 15 to 18 teams that have billionaire owners that want to be tightwads and then not get guys and then bitch that the Dodgers have some great advantage. Like, no, their advantage is they're competitive and you're not.
Well, it's, again, this has been the problem for baseball, honestly, for 20 plus years. Let's be honest with ourselves. And for me, and you know, this is an interesting offseason class, right? Like, where you have a few really good imports from Japan. Morikawa is one of them. There are a few other pitchers and a few other hitters that can come over as well. Kyle Tucker had an up-and-down year for the Cubs. He was going to be the guy in this offseason class. But, look, I mean, we just talked to Arash. I mean, the Dodgers, like, they can't be the favorite to land both Bichette and Morikawa and Diaz and all these guys without someone else at least popping in here. By the way, I think Diaz is going to end up back with the Mets. I think Brighton,
he better.
From the Mets' perspective, he better.
Frankly, the Mets should get Diaz and five more guys. They should be at the top of the list. Steve Cohen has bottomless pockets.
Correct.
Spend money. Block the chief rival in the National League from loading up anymore.
Well, hey, look, it's Diaz. It's Bo Bichette, who the Mets should absolutely be in on. They should be re-signing Pete Alonso, even though it sure sounds like they're going to let him walk for whatever reason.
If I were Pete Alonso, I wouldn't go back. I thought they treated him like ass last year when he was available to everyone. I don't know if there was collusion going on there. Let me read through the list of free agents.
Go for it.
Alex Bregman. These are some offshore odds. Alex Bregman, the favorite is the Phillies at 5-2.
Interesting.
They have plenty of money. If they need him, they should go get him. Bo Bichette, Dodgers are the favorite at 5-2. The San Francisco Giants, the Twins, the Rockies should all block the Dodgers from getting him. Their odds are way down there, but they all have money. Cody Bellinger, the Mets are the favorite. No, the Tigers, the Guardians, the Royals should all be in on Cody Bellinger. Eugenio Suarez is available. The Angels or the Brewers or even the Marlins. The Marlins made progress last year. By the way, when are the Nationals going to try again? Last year, they bragged as they were on their way to whatever. Well, I don't know what they won at the end of the year, 76? But no, they as they were under 500, they bragged that they had won the big trade with the Padres. Who cares? It was right before the All-Star break. And, you know, and at the time, Mackenzie Gore was nuts. Why am I blanking on their outfielder's name? James
Wood.
Yeah, James Wood was killing it. He had a bad second half. Yeah. But it's like, hey, guys, try. You're in Washington, D.C. The Dodgers shouldn't get him. Kyle Schwarber should be, like, everyone should be on him. The favorite, believe it or not, is the Reds. I would love to see the Reds get 50-homer guy.
Excuse me? What?
Why can't the Reds afford him?
No, well,
Reds just had a monster season. Season. Attendance is up. These guys have money. Spend money.
I would have thought if I'm the Boston Red Sox, I would go out and just pay. That would be the
spot. Red Sox on this list are 10-1, about eighth, but the Astros should be in on it. The Astros, come on, guys, spend money. By the way, I'll keep mentioning the Angels. The Angels should be the team that gets five players. Let's go. You keep getting these weird pitching acquisitions. Go get legit stars. And then Kyle Tucker, again, second half wasn't great, but the Blue Jays are the favorite. And, hey, you know what? If the Blue Jays, another team. You didn't win. Go get five more guys.
Find a way to bring Bichette back if you're Toronto. Hey, look. Yep.
Let's go.
Cofield, I am always all in on teams actually spending money. I mean, geez, look at what the story was this week. The rumor of Paul Skeens already wanting to be dealt to the Yankees well before he's a free agent, having to actually issue a denial yesterday after winning the Cy Young.
Well, do you blame anyone who's good who wants to go from the Pirates? They don't. Ownership group doesn't care, and they don't have the money. Major League Baseball needs to force about four teams to sell. It's bad for baseball. Mm-hmm. These guys aren't going to try. Or they simply don't have the money. It's a billionaire business now. Not everyone gets to own a baseball team, and because dad did doesn't mean that you get to own it moving forward. Let's do a giveaway here. 364-1100, caller 7. Caller 7, caller 7. 364-1100. Tuesday game next week at the Fortress, AXS.com. VGK is taking on the Rangers. Golden Knights against the Rangers. 364-1100, 364-1100.
Lawyer and host of Suit Up News, Xavier Pope, joins Cofield and Company now.
All right, let's do it. Frenzied show today. I'm fired up. Major League Baseball's in town. I hope to hear what I'm saying to you. All you GMs, spend money. Well, tell your owners to spend money. Don't let the freaking Dodgers load up. That goes for the Cubs and the White Sox, Xavier. Go and buy baseball players. They're available. What's going on, buddy?
You're fired up today, Steve. You got to see it.
Well, you know, I get annoyed when teams win like the Dodgers and then the pansies around that sport are like, oh, they bought a title. Okay. Yeah, well, then you should too. Go and get players. The fans want players. Fans don't want to buy tickets to, you know, garbage teams and bad performances. And you know what? Let's start out with what's going on in Chicago and the renewed effort to be a winning organization. Ben Johnson, they got him. They outbid, I guess they out-interested other, they out-pitched other organizations, and they got him, and they got a another dramatic victory, and sadly, as a result, Brian Daboll of the Giants got fired.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears going in the right direction, but that's they've been in the march for that for a couple of years. So the team has had a vision, and I think that's the difference between the Giants, who are completely rudderless right now, and the Chicago Bears. They went out and they got rid of Justin Fields. They brought in Caleb Williams. They're able to get some offensive weapons and offensive line around him. Get a good coach that was hot on the market, and you're seeing the results on the field, and you're seeing the results of. It was, remember, people forget, Brian Daboll, it was a controversial hire. I mean, that was whole part of the whole the Brian Flores lawsuit, right? We talked about, you know, Brian Daboll in the first place. So I think that the Bears are in the right direction. They're good, 6-3, tied for first in the division. I mean, and a team that's known for its offense more than its defense, different times here.
Well, and here's the great thing about the vision. A part of the vision is, my God, we got to get some money for this new stadium, and we have to be at least decent. Like, we can't go 2-15. Meanwhile, in the same city, Team Reinsdorf is like, yeah, we're going to suck with the White Sox, but you have to build us a stadium. And there's not enthusiasm to build a stadium when the organization blows.
Yeah, I think that also the city likes to play hardball with its owners. And make the mistake thinking that they'll never leave. But we see what's happening with the Bears, that it's not happening. So I think that the city's in a different place. I think that now that's the seal broken, Steve. Steve, that it could be leveraged more against the city for teams to actually threaten to leave Chicago more than I in my lifetime.
Let's shift back to the Giants real quick. Who should be next? Who should be the next head coach?
Mike McCarthy.
So please, that makes sure it's not Mike McCarthy. And I think that was rumors that he was the top of the list. Yeah. Come on. I mean, that shows the Giants should not have learned from anything. I mean, getting a reach red coach that, you know, that is pretty much not the guy for them. And it doesn't give a splash to the fans. Doesn't give that fan base any hope at all. I think that would be a terrible decision to make if that was them.
So I guess based off that, even though that was just for Mike McCarthy, then throw out Bill Belichick too then?
I mean, he can't even win in University of North Carolina. were they worse off than when he got there? It was a huge mistake. I mean, this is kind of one of those things you think about at professional athletes. Like, what is the coaching equivalent to, like, finding your waning years and going to, like, a terrible program? Did he think of any other examples of coaches that, hey, they were once this really big-time coach and they kind of did the Jordan with the Wizards kind of thing at the end, Ewing with the Magic, all that stuff like that?
Xavier Pope is on ESPN Las Vegas. We're still here. Did you finish?
Yeah, I mean, like, we think about players, and they're great, give these great careers, and they kind of stay on too long, and they wind up going with Joe Namath with the Rams. What the coaching equivalent of that is Bill Belichick basically going to the University of North Carolina.
Did you get up early to watch NFL in Germany?
No.
Was the – and we're talking to Xavier Pope. He's up on Threads. Was the video that you sent me AI, or was that really a bit that the Colts were doing to Drew Hill?
I shared the Colts doing a dance. I don't know who – I mean,
well, I was wondering now. I was wondering if it's real.
I mean, they were doing the Drew Hill dance.
Okay.
And it was right around the time that it was in the game, I guess they did it. I mean, now that's so funny you asked that question, because I feel like that's now every video that's shared. Yep. You got to guess whether it's real or not.
I really enjoyed, I found a new talk show on TikTok with cats talking. I think it's real. maybe it's not. So I got fooled. Was Amon-Ra St. Brown doing the Trump dance real?
It definitely was real, because I saw it in real time. And so I think that, you know, he may have some political affiliations that in relation to people are questioning before that dance, that that he said that he would have done it in front of any president, that maybe not necessarily look like that was as genuine as he may have proffered that up to be. But we have a situation where 2016, this guy, the first term the guy is in office, and asked Colin Kaepernick, the athletes are kneeling. We have 2025, there's a total capitulation, and there now guys are doing the dance and pointing before doing the dance. And so it's just a really strange shift in political times that political activism has shrank to this level.
Well, in large part, outside the WNBA, no one is really out front with their sports activism anymore.
Yeah, it looks like black women have to lead the way once again, as they have in the past. Unfortunately, they're bearing the weight of pushing forward social agendas more than anyone else in our current moment.
Xavier Pope is with us here on ESPN Las Vegas. You and I share a brain on many things. We don't share it on others. But I saw that you had retweeted a big man in college showing off skills and mobility and the ability to, you know, pump and go. And I've always been all about that. But there are a lot of old schoolers who were like, I want my big man to be down low in the post. And what's all this stuff facing the basket? It is amazing what guys who are 6'9" and taller can do now.
Yeah, that's also true. And it's reposted, Steve. I am not on Twitter, X, or now what it's called. I'm on Threads now. Follow me on Threads, Xavier Pope, EXAVIRPOPE. I'm almost at 15,000. I've recovered enough of that 50,000 before. We're still pushing forward. But, yeah, I think that times have changed how athletes perceive themselves and the skills that they are taught. I think that's important, Steve. So if you were a certain size, coaches would teach you certain skills. And I think that you could really fault guys for not having certain skills, because a lot of those skills, they get learned over the course of when guys are really small, and they get developed over the course of time. And sometimes they may have to learn it late, and they don't necessarily have that good skill set because they haven't been able to work on that for years. And so those times have changed, Steve.
They have. To show you how old I am, my father would take me to Nets games, New Jersey Nets games. And I was probably 13, 14, 15 at the time. And I remember the Milwaukee Bucks having two big men, Paul McKeskey and Randy Brewer. And on offense, they would often run this. Big man, you will stand at half court. I'm not kidding. They would stand at half court because they're like, just run in for the rebound. Just get the hell out of the way and clear space. Like that's kind of a low level expectation. There were great big men in the past, but that's where we used to be. Now, speaking of old, are you one of the guys around my age who actually understands the 6'7" thing? Because I think it happened again, didn't it, at some event, and people were like, "What's going on?"
Well, I mean, it's actually been around for longer than people think it is. Okay. People are attributing it to a kid called a 6'7" kid. I've actually now learned the history of 6'7", and even it's made popular by one of the Ball kids, so LaMelo Ball, and maybe even made popular by a rapper before that. And so that term being appropriated and used by kids, but basically meaning really nothing. And I know that I'm tired of the trend because people are making something about literally nothing. But then I watched Seinfeld for years in a different generation. So I love people just love something for nothing.
Xavier Rowe is with us here on this Thursday. Parles, Cofield, ESPN Las Vegas. We know you're big into yoga. You are a yoga instructor. Are we now mixing yoga with some libations? I saw something about yoga and mimosas.
Oh, yeah. So we're, Ritual Hot Yoga, the place where I am the head of business development. We are rapidly expanding, opening a new location in West Loop, in the area where I live now. We just had a preview event. It was yoga itself. I taught the yoga class, and then we had brunch, bites, and mimosas after. It wasn't while we were doing it. I mean, I think some people wanted to do that.
Yeah.
But we definitely saved it for after people were done.
So we always like to lean on EP for things that guys may not be comfortable with, and you know, some of it sometimes is just going to the doctor, right? The guys stop acting like going and getting your prostate checked is some issue. I got into a quick conversation last night, and I blurted out immediately, "Yes." One of my friends, older fella, was talking about getting a pedicure. Guys and pedicures. Your thoughts?
Oh yeah, I talked about this on Threads.
Oh, you did?
Okay. Yeah, if someone suggested that men should have their pedicure a certain way. He's shiny. And I said, no. I mean, I think we should do it. I'm like, make it just clean and neat, clean the nail beds, and give me a matte buff, and that's all. I don't need anyone to see my feet or hands shining, or glistening is the term I use. I can express myself in a masculine way and be clean and neat. And I can just be like, okay, that's the line that I draw myself as my presenting self, and be okay with that. I don't advocate for dirty nails or jagged, ragged nails. Clean it up, guys.
I don't even think these guys were like discussing what sort of finish should be on the nail. It was just like, hey, I'm a man. Do I feel comfortable going and getting a pedicure? But then the subject came up, kind of back to the mimosa thing. Could you sit there and drink a beer or have a glass of wine while you're getting your talons worked on?
I would love to have a glass of wine or a beer while someone's buffing my feet. That sounds amazing. That's not something that's new. They were doing that back in kings of the old. I mean, they paid them grapes. I mean, people. That's the oldest time, Steve.
Women have all these secrets that we hear they're going, and they're like, oh wait, all that's involved. That sounds kind of cool, actually.
It sounds amazing. Women have the best self care. They go to therapy. They go to massages. They go to yoga. They go Pilates. You know, guys, if you're not, I do all these things, by the way. You guys are behind. I mean, my skin is absolutely incredibly soft, Steve. I'm just telling you one thing.
I will. I'm very interested. Next time you're out here, I'll have to rub your face. This is an argument I've had at home. We'll have to close out on this one. This is an argument I've had at home. My significant other, the SO, will not let me get my beard dyed. And I see it all over the place. And I see some guys who have actually pretty good dye jobs. I think... There's no doubt in my mind. Harvey Levin is on something that is not available to anyone. He's like 73 going on. He looks younger than me, and I'm like 20 years younger than him. Dyeing the beard. What do we do?
Well, a lot of guys that I talk to who refuse to dye them say the gray in your beard, you've earned it.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why you're proud to have it. And like women like the graying of the beard. So. You know, makes you, I mean, it doesn't go well with every guy. You have to be sexy, but I think you have an SO, Steve. And if she says she likes it the way it is, I think you want to keep mama happy.
That's a good point, actually. I need to listen to her, right? I could get in trouble. All right, well, you know what? I'll go with the old guy dye job on the hair and just go like jet black. Jet black with a pepper red splotchy beard. And I will tell you, Willie's not on today, but Willie Ramirez really gets on me about the multicolored beard. So I'm conflicted. Do I satisfy Willie or do I satisfy the SO? Tough one.
And that's the wrong Willie to satisfy, my brother.
Yeah, there you go. All right, EP. Love you, buddy. We'll talk to you. Thank you.
Love you.
Yeah, this is a bit as old as time. I've done this with every, and it's not a bit because I think about it, I don't know, every couple of weeks. I'm like, this looks like crap. Here's the next question. I have dropped a little bit of weight and... I think the beard got to a point where it was like this, whatever this mound of blubber is that's on my neck, like double and triple chin, has been hidden a little bit. Like, do I just get rid of it and make a run at fat face and hope it's not as fat as I think it is and I know it was?
Well,
these are not easy decisions.
No, I look for someone who was not allowed to have facial hair for 2 years, different time for
is that
an explanation.
A relationship?
No, not at all. No, my wife likes the facial
parents?
Hair. It's part of no. It,
seminary?
Past employer. We'll just go with that.
Oh no way!
But
you worked for like a Steinbrenner?
Pretty much, yeah. But you know, uh-huh. I'll just say this. Don't get rid of the beard.
Because
someone who had fat face for an extended period of time. It looks so much better with it being covered now.
But it might motivate me if there is like a real double chin here. I don't know how you get rid of it, but the kind of I don't want to get plastic surgery, but kind of like neck lifts or something, or aggressive chewing, but not of all the fatty food I eat.
Oh man,
so, there you go. We get into the male care,
the important things in life.
Yeah, the pedicure thing. I'll tell you, one of the things that really concerns me is. Your feet do have to look good when you go out during the summer. I was never a big flip-flop guy, but I'm more of a flip-flop guy. And the indelible image that I cannot get rid of, that's why it's indelible, is for some reason Bill Belichick decided to start wearing jeans and flip-flops. And I just look down. I'm like, what is going on with the Snaggles? If you're going to show your feet, they can't be disgusting.
Now you just got that image seared into my brain. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. That's definitely not a good thing.
I'll tell you right now, this Jordan Hudson, I think she cares about him. If his nails sucked and they were truly talons, there's no way she's letting him out of the house ever again.
Not a chance.
One more thing on the Belichick to New York.
Yeah.
She's got to be all about it, right? She can't like being
100%.
Miss Jordan in North. She can't like. She's got to want to go back to New York. Big Four is on the way. Big TV news about the new Pac-12, or is it?